You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State Athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Wildcat Nation, welcome in to another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Movie Edition. This is episode 87. The countdown to the 100th episode begins right now. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Purple Project Podcast, all about Kansas State Wildcats, K-State sports here. Kansas State University. Before I bring on my co-host, as usual, for the podcast, Purple Project Podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Audioboom, Google, and a few more outlets out there. The Purple Project Podcast. If you're not a subscriber, this will be a good time to hop on board the Purple Project Podcast. Obviously, sports are heating up in the middle of February as we're recording this on this Thursday night, getting ready for another weekend in February, February 17th, 2022, here as we get set for another K-State weekend full of sports, tennis on the road, got men's and women's basketball continuing this weekend, with the men playing Saturday and the women playing on Sunday, golf getting underway as well, baseball going to be kicking off here tomorrow. Podcast. Well, big three games to open up their 2022 campaign. And now, folks, time to bring on co-host of the weekly edition of the Triple P, none other than Alex Aiden, who's out there in San Diego, California, as usual. Alex, what's happening out there?
Not too much happening out here, Eddie. The weekly weather update, it is actually cold and rainy. Here we are again. We went about a month without it, but it's back today. With today, it was a nicer day. It was finally back into the 70s and sunny, and I believe that Kansas got some snow this past day. So
well, to jump in there, yeah. we didn't get snow like usual.
You didn't,
but
okay.
Kansas City did.
Kansas City got some snow. Kansas City definitely got some of the white stuff. Definitely saw that. But yeah, all is good out here. Was watching the Olympics before we jumped on this call, which is spending a majority of my time doing that. And yeah, you and I actually watched the same thing before we jumped on a very intense figure skating competition.
Yep.
Because I'm sure everybody had heard by now, but Camille Paella, had that substance, and then they ended up letting her skate. Then it just blew up in everyone's face today. It was a whole ordeal. Moral of the story, should have been able to skate.
Should not.
On that. with there. But holy moly, that was intense. I was like, this is awful to watch, but I can't look away. Like, I can't look away at my TV right now. I just can't do it. So, but anyway, aside from that, we have two basketball teams that are training in complete opposite directions at the moment. Just as you had predicted, the men are going up and the women are going down. It's just that's what you would have thought, right? I mean, that's what we would have thought a month ago. So yeah, look, I don't know what's going on with the women's team. You know, we'll jump into that. They looked bad against KU. Bad. It was not pretty at all. And then the men's team, look, I mean, you were on here a week ago, Eddie, talking about, I mean, you literally said, don't even entertain me. It's a bubble talk. Like, I don't even want to hear that. I don't throw in the trash. the tournament stuff. And I was leaning the same way as you. I was like, there's a path, but I don't see any way that they can get to it. And they get a couple wins, and now they're squarely on the bubble. Jill Lenardi has them as the fifth team out as of now. So they're the very top next four out team. So they're really squarely on the bubble with, what, five games to go here. And so, personally, I still don't think that they're going to make the tournament. But team, at the very least, needs to be competing to make the NCAA tournament. Well,
that's what we said.
We're 5 games to go, and they are competing.
That's what we said. To make the NCAA tournament.
And they seem to be gelling. They seem to be beginning to gel. And you know, that's a good thing to see. So, and they're in fifth place. They're in fifth place in the Big 12 right now. Fifth, sole possession of fifth. It's wild. Just wild. So, man, there's a lot to break down there. But you know, I don't know. To me, Eddie, it still feels like their path is pretty narrow to get there, to actually make the tournament. But look, I'm excited to jump in and talk with you about it because they're definitely giving us a lot of good stuff to talk about right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Last time since we've been on this podcast, yep, you nailed it on the head. We talked about, oh, there's no chance. Yep, I definitely said it's on tape. That's it, throw it in the trash can.
It is.
And I'm still cautiously optimistic, like I said, talked about in one of the dailies this week. I'm cautiously optimistic about this team making it in the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
Even though K-State has that path, there's other teams out there as well trying to make their own path as well to the NCAA tournament as well. So, for K-State, you got to handle your business. And like I've been saying all week, I know K-State fans might be hearing me tired of saying that. But again, you got to take care of your business, especially with the home game, with your home court. And finally, K-State was able to do that. It's West Virginia on Monday night, especially coming off of an emotional come-from-behind win on the road in Ames against Iowa State, quote-unquote, Hilton Magic, 75-69 in OT. And then you turn around, you get West Virginia. I thought there for a minute Monday night that, oh boy, you know, West Virginia's going to come in here and get a dub. And like, oh gosh, but K-State.
I was going to think this is very off-brand. If they came in one after that.
Yeah, and then K-State finally said, hey, enough is enough. Let's just take control of it. And they went on a big run in the second half of that game. Of course, K-State won the game 78-73, which sets them up going on the road to Stillwater Saturday afternoon to take on Oklahoma State, a team that just recently played not too long ago, which came down the wire, Nigel Pack 3. And speaking of that, I got a question for you at the end of the podcast about him. We talked about this. I'm going to leave this at a cliffhanger, a little bit of mini cliffhanger until the end of this podcast, Alex. So I got a question for you on that. But yeah, Nigel Pack 3 at the end of the game there, knocks it down, and they squeak past the Cowboys. This time, we got to go on the road to take on the Cowboys. So, and this, Alex, is ahead of the matchup on, what's the 22nd on Tuesday, right?
The 22nd is Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be bringing Keaton on, and we will recap this game a little bit, actually. Then we'll talk about football. So there, that's the lineup right there. So we'll have a special guest on next week, so we're excited about that. So KU, so we'll be going on after that ball, after tip. So it's going to be a little late night action. So I'm pretty sure we're going to have some pretty good thoughts about that game, especially on the road against KU in Allenfield House. You know how that goes. So
we do. We'll be talking about a 20-point loss. It'll be 20-25-point loss. K-State lost 81-59 or whatever the score is. K-State got down like 18-2 to begin the game and never could get into it. It's the same story every single year when they play in Allenfield House. I can already predict it. How the script's going to go. But look, I'm excited to have Keith on. I think we're going to have a really good conversation about the football team and some of these things that we've talked about. We've been talking about bringing him on for a while, and he's finally going to come on and talk with us. And I think it's going to be interesting to get another perspective for somebody who's worn the helmet, worn the pads, for this program back in the day. So to be able to get someone who knows that program to come in and give their insights on what we saw last year, what going into this offseason, what we can expect next year. I think that's going to be a good treat.
Yeah, I know you've had him on the Wildcat World of Sports a couple of times, so definitely interested in hearing what he has to say and his perspective. I'm looking forward to that next week. Next week in general, at least for me, is going to be pretty, pretty busy and exciting. So I'm really looking forward to next week. But we got unfinished business here in episode 87 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. Yeah, so Oklahoma State before KU Saturday afternoon. So hopefully K-State will be 100% focused on the Cowboys and not looking forward ahead of that game against the team that's 45 minutes east away from here. But yes, so 2-0 since we last talked, and like you said, Alex, they are now sitting fifth, the top half. As hopefully, there we go. They're sitting on the top half now of the Big 12. Literally, they're sitting fifth behind Texas, a good two games back of them. So right now, KU on top of the conference, 10-2. Then you have the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They're coming off of a big win, actually, against Baylor last night. Tied for second, 9-4, 9-4 against Baylor. Texas Tech, Baylor, and then Texas 8-5, then K-State 6-7. It has been a while. I know they're 6-7, but still, it has been a long while since we've seen K-State in the top half of this conference. Then TCU, Oklahoma State, OU, Iowa State, West Virginia at the very bottom of that list. And if I believe, I might be wrong about this, I know I'm looking way ahead in the crystal ball in the future with the Big 12 tournament that will be coming up here pretty soon. If my math is my brackets are correct on that. I know they were talking about the women. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But K-State, they would be the fifth seed. So I don't know who that would match up against. Maybe actually the 8-9 will be playing first, actually, because Oklahoma State is not eligible for the Big 12.
You're right. They're not eligible.
They're not eligible.
Good question, Eddie. That is a good question. Interesting.
Yeah, so they're not eligible. So Iowa State.
Won't be your 10.
Nope.
It's going to be 9.
So it'll be West Virginia and Iowa State, I believe, will play like a play-in game or something like that. So I mean, I don't have the bracket right now, but I'm just thinking ahead.
I'm just trying to think that's going to work, Eddie. Having 9 teams, unless we're wrong, and maybe Oklahoma State can't play in the Big 12 tournament, but they can't play in the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
That's what I heard that from some podcast. Well, it was yesterday or the day before that Oklahoma State was not eligible to play in the Big 12 tournament. So.
Oh, boy. Okay. Interesting. Well, I knew they weren't in the NCAA tournament. I did not know about the Big 12 tournament. And that's a great question because I was about to say, well, you're going to, you know, it typically, if K-State got 5, you get your 4-5 matchup. And that would be K-State Texas right now.
Yep.
Which, honestly, I think is a matchup that you would have taken because K-State, you know, played with them in Manhattan, well, beat them in Texas, or in Austin.
Beat them in Texas, yep.
You look at that game, I think you think, well, that's a game, like, we can win. Texas is better now than they were in case they played them, but still, I guess, you look at that game, you like your odds better than you would against KU, Baylor, or Tech. I think that's fair to say. So, but good question. That is a good question, and, you know, we'll see what happens with K-State. You know, they could slide up, they could slide down, but they could go as low as, they still could slide probably down to 9. I'm just saying, they literally could be in for 5-9. I mean, it just depends what happens these last 5 games, because we don't know. It's so hard, Eddie, because this team's so inconsistent that I just don't know where to peg them. I don't think they'll be 9. I think that they'll finish anywhere from probably the 5 to 7 range.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. You know, if I'm a K-State fan, I would almost, Eddie, want to slide. Once again, but that's typically if there's 10 teams. I was going to say, I would actually probably want to slide down to 7 to get 10 so I could get an extra game and be able to pad the resume. And because every Big 12 team's good, it's going to be a good win on your resume. So if you can just get another, it gives you an extra opportunity to get a win. That could be good if they slide to 7, but if they slide to 7 and Oklahoma State's not in, then I still think that they'd get a bye. So I don't think that that would work. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, Eddie. But that is interesting. That is interesting.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see what.
I didn't mean to go on that rant.
No, you're good.
Although it's not a rant. I think it wasn't a rant. That I was thinking out loud. I apologize, everybody. I was thinking out loud on the podcast. I did not get to answer my question. So anyway, K-State's playing good basketball.
Yeah, yes, they are. And hopefully, and I mentioned this early on this week, if K-State can go on the road and take care of the Cowboys, it'll be the first time they won 3 in a row going back to December, middle of December. They're in the non-con, so they can get this. They'll be sitting at 500 there in the conference play with 4 games to go. There, of course, you got that big game on Tuesday night in Lawrence. So, yeah, K-State, again, set up pretty well. Again, we'll see what happens. Their next 4 out of 5 will be either on ESPN networks or nothing. Obviously, Oklahoma is not even scheduled yet. Well, it's 3 o'clock tip, senior day, and it's not on a network yet. But Oklahoma, for those of you K-State fans out there wanting to watch the game, not going to Stillwater, want to watch the game, ESPNU, ESPN has the KU game on Tuesday night. Iowa State, ESPNU, that Iowa State game will be at Brainless, by the way. Texas Tech, prime time, Alex, 8 o'clock. And then, of course, your game at Oklahoma there. So you're really looking at the worst case scenario here. I know we keep going back to the schedule the last couple weeks on the show here. Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Oklahoma, your worst you can do, 3-2. And you hope, I mean, it's a reach, but you hope, again, you get a game that you're not expected to get, whether it's finally trying to cast out the demons in Allen Fieldhouse or trying to get Texas Tech in their building, which they're pretty tough. So that's the worst case scenario. Best / worst case scenario, 3-2. And in the worst case scenario for them, let's just say that they drop one of these games that they're supposed to win, but they lose, right? Let's say Iowa State, for example, comes in there and gets revenge on K-State. The worst can be opposite, 2-3 at the worst.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Agree with that. And, just quickly to... Before I kind of jump into that part, I want to give K-State credit for the wins that they got Saturday and Monday, because it didn't look like they were winning either game at one point. They were down. Well, I shouldn't say at one point, at many points. It didn't look like they were to win that Iowa State game at nearly any point of it. And I was actually out and didn't catch a majority of it. And when I jumped back in my car and turned on the radio, I caught the latter part of the second half in there, and then the overtime period. But
yeah, I caught the. I'll jump in here for a minute. Yeah, I caught the.
Jump on in, and then, like I said, break that down, and I definitely want to get into the schedule that you brought up as well.
Yeah,
the last 5 games, fascinating the way that goes. But go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, I caught the. I had to work going for work last Saturday, so I was able to catch bits and pieces of the first half. Well, actually, half of the first half, actually. And then I got busy, and then as I got off work, I'm thinking to myself there, you know, I stopped listening to it at halftime because the Iowa State was leading big, right? So
yep.
Got busy with work the last hour, and then gotten back in my car. Next thing I know, I check the score, and then the next thing I turn on the radio on to Stan White and Stan, the guys, and then next thing I know, I hear overtime. I'm like, what in the world just happened? So, yeah, I mean, K-State, you know, tying up their seat belts and went to work on Iowa State there. So, yeah. Go ahead. I just want to throw that in there too.
No, that's great. By the way, I got an answer to our tournament question. I just went ahead to the Big 12, went to the Big 12 site and looked. And first off, you were correct. Oklahoma State was denied the opportunity to play in the Big 12 tournament, so there will only be one play-in, or not one play-in. There's only going to be one first round game, and that will be number 8 against number 9. So whoever gets number 7 will play number 2. And yeah, that's probably not ideal, because that means you're likely going to end up playing Caleb Baylor in the first game. I don't think that's what you want. We'll see between 3-4 where Texas and where Tech finish. I'm assuming that Texas Tech will finish 3rd and Texas 4th, because I think Tech is better than Texas, in my opinion. I think Tech might be better than Baylor, to be 100%.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
I just think that K-State matches up better with Tech than they do Baylor. Baylor's really bad matchup for K-State. One of Baylor's strengths is their front court. And K-State's front court is just too awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's just horrible.
We know the story, yep.
Yeah, I mean, Baylor's big, tall, lanky, and K-State relies on short guards. It's just a bad matchup. But either way, yes, so that's the way the tournament's going to go. But yeah, getting back to the case, I went out. I had some prior agreements, and I was out. I also got my hair cut. I was grabbing some lunch with some people, and jumping the car. Heading to my parents, and hear the game, and it's a lot closer because I've been peeking on my phone a little bit. K-State was down. By a decent chunk for majority of the game, and the next thing you know, K-State taking plays down the stretch, and I don't know what Marquise Noel did at the end of the regulation, but fortunately they were able to make up for that, and Marquise Noel made up for that, and him
by himself, yeah.
Overtime.
Yep.
But either way, that was a great. I mean, gosh, we've talked about this before. Going into Hilton, and Hilton Magic. Beating Iowa State on the road, that's always hard. It doesn't matter how good Iowa State is. And look, I've dogged Iowa State a little. I haven't dogged Iowa State a little bit. I was never sold on the hype that they were getting. I just didn't see them going from a team who couldn't win a Big 12 game last year to a top 10 team in the country. I just was like, that seems a little dramatic to me that they could make that big of a turn. And lo and behold, they've come back down to earth, but they're still 17-9. They're still a good team. They're still a good basketball team. And you go to Hilton and you play a good basketball team, it's tough to win. It doesn't matter who, where you're ranked, what the situation is. So for K-State to go in there, get a win, and not just get a win, but get a win after being down like 13-0 and being down like 15 in the first half, even in the second half, I think they were down 15 at one point. And to dig out of that and get a win is just incredibly impressive. So, should have never ended up in that spot to begin, but they did a great job of going out and getting a win that I did not expect them to get, Eddie. And once they got that Iowa State game, that's when I went, interesting. That was when I kind of thought, okay, the door maybe actually could realistically open for them to get to make the tournament. And that's kind of what I felt when they got that win. Because that was the first time they really snagged a win late that I wasn't expecting, since that Texas game. So that was big. That was big. And then I think the question was, will they go home against West Virginia and be able to take care of business? K-State's, I think they're better than West Virginia. West Virginia's struggling in a handful of areas. So, they obviously got a couple really good players, but, K-State could kind of weather that. And, you figure that they could get the win. It's kind of in K-State's court. The ball is kind of in K-State's court, in my opinion, there. So it's like, well, are you going to take advantage of this opportunity, or are you going to, let it slip? And it sure looks like they were going to let it slip for a while. They did not play, in my opinion, particularly well, really the entire game, to be quite honest, but especially the first half. The first half, they didn't look good. They didn't have a lot of two-point buckets. They had like 4 threes and 2s, or for most of the half, they had more threes than 2s. I mean, they weren't, you know, their offense was, they weren't moving the ball very well. They weren't getting the looks they wanted to get. And defensively, I think they had the worst half of the year defensively. They were really, really bad defensively. And it just was not very pretty. And they just weren't playing a lot of motion. That just made you go, oh, boy, oh, no. Here, of course. You know, they give themselves an opportunity, and now they're going to just, you know, throw it away here in a game that they should win against West Virginia. But once again, credit to the Cats. Credit to the Cats for coming out in the second half and playing better basketball. You know, playing better basketball. They clamped down on defense. And they really played some good defense there in the second half. And they kind of said, you know, enough of this. And they went on an 18-2 run. They caught fire, hit some shots, got some stops. And that 18-2 run really ended up doing it for them. I don't think they're particularly great late. But that they were able to get enough of a cushion with that 18-2 run to really put it away. They're late. So and look, I if I recall, I believe they hit their free throws as well. I think they had a really good.
Yeah, they hit their free throws.
They shot the free throws really well, which was really big in that game. So look, was it the prettiest game in the world? No, but was it entertaining? Yes, it was. And so. You know, here we go to Oklahoma State now, and this is where it gets interesting to me, because I look at their schedule, and I think, okay, you've got 5 games left, and Joe Lunardi put something out saying, you know, there's essentially 24 teams that have a chance to make the tournament, like, at-large, an at-large bid in the tournament, and there's, like, 9 spots available currently. So, you know, also, you know, that could shrink. That could shrink if you know, someone takes an at-large bid in one of these tournaments that, you know, by winning that conference tournament, somebody's supposed to get an at-large bid, doesn't win the tournament, boom, you lose the spot. That could happen. You may see a couple of those happen as well. So it might even be smaller than 9. But right now, 24 teams for 9 spots. K-State's obviously the pick of that. And so that in and of itself tells you, okay, so it's getting a little narrow. The road's a little narrow. There's a lot of congestion in there, but, let's see what happens. So, for K-State, you've got 5 games left. You've got 2 at home against Iowa State and Oklahoma. You've got the game this Saturday at Oklahoma State, and then you got the 2 road games against KU and Tech. For me, I think that they have to go, Eddie, I think they have to go 3-2 to be in the tournament, going into Kansas City. So, walking into the T-Mobile Arena to play some basketball, to be in at that point, they need to go 3-2. To have a chance, they need to be 2-3. So, you know, if they go 2-3, they're going to T-Mobile Center, or T-Mobile, what are they? Yeah, T-Mobile Center.
T-Mobile Center,
It used to be Sprint Center. Changing the name on me. If they go into the T-Mobile Center after going 2-3, I think they're going to be the wrong side of the bubble. I think they're going to have to win. They're going to have to win at least 1, if not 2, games in Kansas City, just depending on kind of where the seeding falls. But I would lean more towards 1 just because K-State will likely get a quad 1 matchup in that first game. And if you can get a quad 1 win, especially if it's against any of those top 4 teams that we named, that would be a really, really big win. So 1 win might be able to do enough, but they're gonna have to at least get 1. I don't think they can go in there and lose the first game if they go 2-3. And then if they do worse than that, forget it. You know, it's just not happening. So, but I think their best path, Eddie, is going 3-2. I really think that is what they need to do, because I don't think they're going to go to Kansas City and win a game. I know that sounds bad. I'm sorry. I just don't. I'm not banking on that. I'm just not banking on them going and beating one of these top half teams in the Big 12 in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. So I think that they need to control what they can control, and that is 2 home games that are winnable, a road game that is winnable, and if you can get those 3 wins, then you're in a good position. So this Oklahoma State game is huge. You know, going into Saturday, this is a huge, huge game. Because if you don't get this Oklahoma State game, in my opinion, K-State at that point has to go snag one of those games in Lubbock or Lawrence. And that is a tough thing to do. That's asking a lot to go there. Sure, you can drop them both when you're home games and go try to beat someone in Kansas City, but I really think you're playing with fire at that point. You don't know what could happen. Bids could shrink. I just think that you're really playing with fire if you go in there after going 2-3 in these last five. I think that K-State needs to go 3-2 to actually put themselves in a good position to be playing basketball in the NCAA tournament here in March. So you look at it, and that doesn't just mean they need to beat Oklahoma State, but that means you've got to protect your home court. Again, you mentioned it. Iowa State cannot drop Iowa State at home. Oklahoma, you cannot drop Oklahoma at home. You cannot drop those games. Those two games are must wins. You have got to win those two games. Absolutely. Must wins. 100%. This Oklahoma State game, Eddie, I wouldn't quite throw it in the must win category. I would put it in to as close to a must win without being a must win. If that makes sense. It's a game where there is still a path for them, but that path becomes very narrow with a loss to the Oklahoma State. You can say what you want about Oklahoma State. People about, oh, well, they're not going to be playing in the Big 12 tournament. They're not playing the NCAA tournament. Oh, you know, they've got a below 500 record. Well, you can say that all you want. The truth of the matter is, if K-State goes and they beat Oklahoma State, I believe that's a quad one win. That's a quad one win. It is. Oklahoma State, they're 52 in the net ranking. If they were eligible, I think Dejillon already said they would be last four in right now. They're better than their record. They're better than their record, and it would be a quad one win for K-State on that resume. So, you know, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. That would be a big, big win to go down to Oklahoma State to get that game. If you don't get that game, that's tough. That hurts. But once again, you know, I think that the blueprint's out there. Got to win home games. Got to try to steal one of those in the road. If you can't, you're gonna have to go to Kansas City. You're gonna have to make a little bit of noise. I think that's just the way it has to go. But this is a big game. This is a huge game. And if you can go to Oklahoma State, you can get that win. You can get 7-7 in conference play. Going into Lawrence, you know, feeling as good as you can feel going in against KU and seeing if you can, just pull an upset and just, surprise the world. Which, by the way, if K-State went into KU and got a win, we wouldn't have to talk quite as much about this bubble stuff. That would put a pretty damn good stamp on their resume. Because KU is currently a 7th, or 8th in the net. They're pretty high up there. By the way, Texas Tech's 11th, so both of those games would look just amazing on a resume to get either one of them. But point being, you've got to get three wins in some way, shape, or form. And the easiest way to do it, in my opinion, is to go beat Oklahoma State, go beat Iowa State, go beat Oklahoma. Best three way to do it. That starts by beating Oklahoma State this Saturday. So, got to go out, got to play well, got to play with intensity, and try to get a win. And I'll be 100% honest, Eddie, I'm not feeling amazing about this Oklahoma State game because Oklahoma State has been really good at home this year. They have beaten some really good teams. Looking at their schedule, they have beaten, of course it's up and then it goes away. Thank you, ESPN, for an amazing website. At home, they were able to beat Texas. They were able to, also, as we already know, they were able to beat Baylor on the road. They were able to beat West Virginia by 23 points. That same West Virginia team that we saw K-State barely get by. They beat them a week ago at 23 at home. I mean, this is a good team. This is a good basketball team. And so, K-State's got their work, cut out for them. And it's tricky. It's really a tricky game, in my opinion. Because I just think Oklahoma State's better than their record. And I think they're better than West Virginia, who K-State just played. I think that they're on the level of Iowa State. And we saw what K-State had to do to go get a win there. is Gallagher, and Gallagher has a tough place to play. That's a tough place to play a basketball game. It doesn't matter whether Oklahoma State's ineligible or not. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game for K-State to go in there to get a win. It's going to be mighty impressive to me, Eddie, if they can go in and they can get that game. But with that said, it's a huge game. And it's a game they need. And they need to go down there. They need to get a win. They need their guards to play well. Their guards have to be better. Nigel's got to shoot the ball better than he did on Monday. You know, the way he shot, it's not going to be enough. By the way, credit to West Virginia. They did some really nice things on defense to slow Nigel down. And also credit to Marquise Noel and Mark Smith for really stepping up and making big-time plays when Nigel was getting slowed down. But that's what you're going to need again. You know, Nigel's going to have to be better, and Mark Smith and Marquise Noel are going to have to, do what they did Monday. You know, they're going to have some big-time performances. And Ish Masu, Ish needs to keep doing what he's done. He has looked so much better in the last two games, Iowa State and West Virginia. He looks like old Ish. He looks like the old Ish. He's solid in the non-con. He needs that. They need that because you're not getting any production from your front court. Don't bank on getting any production from your front court. I don't even want to talk about the front court, to be 100% honest, Eddie. They're just non-existent. So I'm going to talk about guys that are actually doing things, and that is Mark Smith, that is Nigel Pack, Marquise Noel, and now Ish Masu. You got to ride those guys, man. You got to ride those guys, and particularly those three, Marquise, and Nigel. So they need to come out and have good performances. They need to lead this team. And my concern continues to be what it's been all year. This team has not been consistent, and it makes me weary to fully buy into what they're doing. So hopefully, they can prove me wrong and go out and get a win. But let's not forget about this. This team has not had a three-game winning streak in Big 12 all year. They haven't done it. So, man, if they get this win, that'll be the first one. But I'm just a little weary of it. And it's why, Eddie, I still cannot fully buy into them and the tournament talk. I just can't buy into it yet. I cannot buy into it yet. But if they can go get a win at Oklahoma State, then that may get me a step closer. But it'll be a huge game. Look, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good one.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 87 of the Project Podcast weekly continues. Any weird outings for the podcast? Yeah, looking forward to it, and I agree with you on if they can get Oklahoma State Saturday afternoon. I might be leaning closer onto that bandwagon as well, but we'll see what happens there. We are almost 40 minutes in the show and haven't gotten to women's basketball yet. That's actually a good transition to that right now. And also a reminder that K-State men on the road to take on Oklahoma State on Saturday. Meanwhile, I believe this is either the third or fourth time that the K-State men's and women's basketball team have played the same team on the same weekend. K-State women, after their loss in Lawrence last weekend, having to wait a full week pretty much to get back on the court. They'll be back at home Sunday afternoon at 3 Central Time to take on the Oklahoma State Cowgirls, who are 3-10 on the Big 12 play anyways, and 8-14 this season. K-State, we talked about it already, two teams trending in opposite directions. Their K-State men seem to be going in the right direction. We'll see if they can get Oklahoma State men's team on Saturday. K-State going the wrong direction. They lost fifth place in the Big 12. They have now dropped to sixth on so far to this point. They were their loss against KU Jayhawks on last Saturday night there. And yeah, that my gut feeling, that entire game was not very good. We talked about that a little bit off air before I hit the record button there. So K-State now is still in the second half of the conference by far with a 7-6 Big 12 record. Now they are, with the loss to KU, 17-8 on the year for the Lady Cats there. Baylor Bears lead the division after, or conference division, same thing. 20-5. That's the team that K-State beat, upset early on in the year. Iowa State, actually Baylor and Iowa State, are tied for the league lead. Then you have Oklahoma and KU tied again. So four teams basically have the same record. And so Baylor Bears, Cyclones 10-3, Sooners, Seahawks 9-4. Then you have the Longhorns 8-5, and there you have the sixth place K-State Wildcats at 7-6 there. And then the rest of them don't matter. West Virginia 4-9. Oklahoma State, K-State's opponent, women's side, this weekend 3-10, along with the Lady Red Raiders, which now that's a bad loss on the road. You know, when I think about it, even though the Lady Cats are still in position to make the NCAA tournament there, that's still a bad loss. Maybe probably worst,
yeah,
in my opinion. Then TCU 2-11 for them. So yeah, you gotta be thinking. We talked about the women here recently about, or should we hit the panic concern button on this team after such a hot start? Their five remaining games, Oklahoma State, you mentioned that for the 1,000th time. Then you host Texas next Wednesday in a crucial game, crucial conference game for them. And Texas, okay, is sitting in front of K-State in the conference.
Yep.
And then Oklahoma go on the road to Norman on February 26th. And then West Virginia, the final home game in the regular season for the women, and that will be senior night for the women. And then the season finale will be going to TCU March 5th. So wait, I'm gonna do the same thing like I did the men here, and I'll get your thought. We talked about it a little bit off air about that game there, but obviously it was just gut feeling that, you know, K-State did not get a little much movement offensively. Yeah, you want to use your best player. I understand that. Ayoga Lee, your best player, you want to get involved, right? But to open things up for her, you got to have other girls to make shots and create their own shot and make shots. And 1 of 22 from downtown, yeah, that's not going to get it done. They're just ice cold. From downtown, 1-3. Now is the Laura Mackey 3 that tied the game. And you thought, okay, K-State can take some of this momentum. Nope. KU took it right back there. So, yeah, you want kind of wonder what's in the mind of this team, the mindset of this women's basketball team going into this Oklahoma State game this weekend. And then Texas, Oklahoma, two ranked opponents in here. And the best case scenario for Jeff Mee's team, if they want to have any momentum, carry any momentum into their Big 12 tournament, which is, oh, by the way, I wasn't aware of this before the telecast of the K-State-KU game on last Saturday. It's going to be in Kansas City, if that's correct. You might want to double check on that. It used to be
in Oklahoma. Right. I think it is in Kansas City. I think it's at... I think it might be a municipal, if I recall.
Yeah, I did not realize that they moved the conference tournaments. So it used to be Oklahoma City for the last several years, but apparently they moved it. Best case scenario for them, they upset Oklahoma that 61-point game for Ayoga Lee back here in Bramlage. You wonder if Oklahoma is going to adjust there, so we'll see there. But I got actually K-State, despite the road rules to try to turn things around, I think K-State can sweep. You heard it here first on the Pro Project Podcast Weekly, episode 87. It's on tape. I think they're a sweep. They're going to go down there and sweep Oklahoma. So best case scenario for them, they got to get some momentum. I got to go 4-1. with the loss against Texas at Ramage. Now, obviously, K-State women, they've been really good. And well, I might be putting my shoe in my own mouth. But, yeah, they're going to lose one of those ranked games. And, yeah, 4-1 is the best. You know what? Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'm just gonna stick with that. Yeah, 4-1, best and worst. Oh boy, worst case scenario. Let's go with 2 road games, 3 home games. Let's go 2-3. No, let's go 3-2 as the worst case scenario.
Okay.
Worst case scenario with 2 ranked opponents, Texas, Oklahoma, and they take care of business against the Cowgirls. Mountaineers, TC. Now, TCU gave K-State a handful a couple weeks ago, not recently, with a 63-54 win there, but that was hard-earned. Okay, TCU made K-State earn every point of that game, so that might not be much of a gimme there, but that's just my best and worst case scenario there. Alex, same thing. Give me your thoughts a little bit about the KU game that you saw last weekend, and what does K-State, the Jeff Minnie's team, need to do to turn this thing around a little bit? They've lost, actually, before I hand it off to you, they lost the last 4 of 6. So.
not pretty. Not pretty basketball from the K-State women's team. Well, you mentioned 2 teams trending in completely different directions with the men's and women's team, which is ironic, because the men's team's only had a 2-game winning streak. It's not like they're on some huge winning streak. But the men's team is 6-3 in their last 9 Big 12 games, and I don't know what the women's team is, but it's not.
It's 4-6. Three. Yeah, I just said it. 4-6.
Yeah. Not 6-3. First off, I wanted to begin with talking about the women's team with just saying thoughts and prayers with Coach Mitty and Shanna, his wife, because I did see on Twitter earlier in the week that he posted that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and so that they're going through that they've been meeting with the medical team at KU Med there in Kansas City, and it seems like they do have a treatment plan that's in place that they're confident is treatable and beatable. So, like I said, thoughts and prayers with them.
Prayers up.
They can get through that. That's obviously difficult to coach and to go through the grind of a season while your biggest fan and the most important person to you is going through an even bigger fight, an even bigger battle. So obviously a lot on his plate. Thoughts and prayers to him. But in regards to his team, a little concerned, if I'm not going to lie, if I'm going to be honest, and not lying here, Eddie. The KU game, I was able to catch a decent amount of that. That was actually after the Iowa State game, and I was with my parents by then, so I watched a little bit of the game before I had some dinner with them, and it was not very pretty. They couldn't hit anything. They weren't moving on offense. The ball wasn't moving. People weren't moving. Shots weren't going in. You mentioned 1 of 22 from 3. I know Serena Sundell had 10 points and hit 3 had 3 shots, but she didn't look good. She was missing a lot of shots, and it was going around. The Glenn sisters were not very good either. They combined to 5 of 18 from the field, so they didn't do much. And Ayoka Lee did have 18 points, but she wasn't very efficient. She was 7 of 16 from the field, and so. That's just not really a recipe for success. And look, K-State almost got doubled on the offensive glass. K-State had 7 offensive rebounds. KU had 12, so KU was getting some extra opportunities. They were getting some extra opportunities to get some boards. And look, they just crushed K-State. It's like the men's team came in and replaced the women's team against KU. Because remember when the men's team played KU, they got out-rebounded by, 23 or something like that? Well, the women's team, they got out-rebounded like 17 or something along those lines. What was it? It was 48 to 31. So, yes, 17. 17. Nine. That's not – look, Eddie, that you're not winning basketball games playing like that. They just – you're right. They had some runs. They did. They had a couple runs. They had a run in the second. They had a run in the third. But no, they had a run in the. Oh, I can't remember. They had two. Whatever. They had two runs, Eddie, and it wasn't enough. That's the moral of the story. You know, you only can do, so much when you're not shooting well, rebounding well, passing well, moving well, really doing anything well, to be quite frank with you. So, you know, it was just not a good game. It was just not a good game. K-State didn't play well, and I think it just kind of highlights some of the problems that they're having in general. All of those problems they had against KU were probably had against Baylor, in the game prior. And so I think it's alarming. I think it's a little bit alarming that you've got a team that we were talking about, oh, can they compete to possibly win the Big 12, but they're now sitting at the sixth seed. They're sitting at the, they're sitting sixth in the Big 12 right now, below the men's team, which is just, what? Just wild. So, granted, they do have better records than the men's team, by the way. I'm not going to select the women's team. They've had a better year. They have a better record. And so they're still a good team, but they're not playing well. And they're just not shooting it well. They're not rebounding it well. They've really just gotten their tails really kind of whipped the last couple games. And so they need to come out against one. Here we go, Oklahoma State. They need to come out against Oklahoma State and get a win. That is a huge, huge game at home. And no, the women's team is not playing to make the tournament. They're in the tournament. Unless they crumble in these last five games, Eddie, they're in. They're playing for seeding at this point. They're not playing to win a Big 12 title either. They're really just playing for seeding and momentum. So not as much on the line for them as there is the men's team. The men's team is the one that's really, playing for a lot right now. But the women's team's got to get it right. They got to get it right, or they're going to go to Kansas City and they're going to lose, and they're going to go into the NCAA tournament and they're going to be one and done. And it's going to be disappointing. It's going to be disappointing after what we saw them do earlier in the season. And we saw their potential. And look, everybody goes in funks. We've seen it before. We referenced baseball last week when, every team hits that funk. Every team hits that skid. Every player hits that skid. K-State did that right now. But they've got to find a way to snap out of it. They've got to find a way to snap out of it because they've got two, you mentioned two ranked teams coming up, Texas and Oklahoma. And you'd like to be playing some good basketball when you go and play two top 15 teams. So they need to take a bit. They need to take care of Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's team, you mentioned it, 3-10 in conference play, 8-14 overall. That's a game you just need to take care of. You just need to take care of that game. And then I'm with you. They're not going to win both of those ranked games. If they can snag one against Texas or Oklahoma, I would be pleasant. I would be pleasantly pleased. Mm-hmm. I don't know the sentence, but. That is okay. I'd be pleasantly pleased if they were able to get one of them. And then West Virginia, once again, you're playing West Virginia at home, 4-9 in conference play, 11-12 overall. The game you need to win. And then going on the road against TCU, 2-11, 6-16. The game you need to win. It's on the road. It's more difficult. Not a gimme. You mentioned it. TCU made K-State earn it when they played earlier in the year. But if K-State is where we want them, we hope they are. They need to win those three games. They need to win those three games, and hell, Eddie, even if they win those three and lose the two ranked games, and they're 3-2 going into Kansas City, I'll take it. Whatever. You'd be going into Kansas City 20-10, 10-8 in Big 12 play. That's a good season. That's a good season. And so, is it what we would have thought when the Big 12 began and we saw what K-State was doing? No, we probably figured that they were going to do a little better. But 20 wins, 10 wins in Big 12 play after what they did last year, take that all day long. Take that all day long. So if you're K-State, I think that you just need to make sure that you win those three games that you're supposed to win. Just get those games. Just make sure you win those games. And if you can steal one against a ranked team, great. If not, whatever. But I think the worst thing that could happen to them, Eddie, would be if they dropped one of those three games that they should have. I think that would be the worst thing, because that could really just be a sign that, things are really sliding now. Because even when K-State wasn't playing great, they found a way to beat Tech by 7 at home. They found a way to beat TCU by 9 at home. They found a way to win those games. So if they start losing those games, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So they've got a favorable schedule. That's the good news for them. You look at a school like KU. KU's schedule's loaded on the back end. So K-State's got an opportunity to jump them, as crazy as it sounds. And you've got an opportunity, to jump Texas. You know, they're only a game ahead of you as well. So you've got the opportunity to even jump them. And heck, even Oklahoma. Oklahoma's tied with KU right now. You beat Oklahoma once, and you've got them on the schedule. So K-State's still got a lot of meat on the bone, so to speak, here left, and a lot to play for. But they need to fix some of the problems that they're having. Because offensively, it's not cutting it. On the glass, it's not cutting it. Ayoka Lee, she's going to be the best player on the court damn near every night. But she can't do it all on her own. You mentioned it. She can't do it all on her own. And you can't just keep force feeding her and just hope that she can bail you out of games. That I'm going to say this all year long. You've got to get... you really got to get a collective effort from the supporting cast as well for K-State to really play at that next level. That's really what you need. So hopefully they can they can play Oklahoma State. They can play a good crisp game, get a win, feel good about themselves, and then see if they can pull an upset on Texas next week.
Yep. So. I was finishing up a thought right there. Yeah, definitely. So, K-State women's team at home for their matchup. And oh, by the way, that's going to be a special game as well. I had it pulled up here recently, and now I have to get it back. The Play for K annual game. Your uniforms are usually pink for that game. So, Definitely, there should be some still tickets out there for that game. So definitely, K-State looking to get back on the winning track this weekend, and both men and women playing against Oklahoma State. Men on the road in Stillwater. Meanwhile, the women's will be at home in Bramlett Sunday afternoon.
By the way, fitting that they're playing, that they play for K on the first game after Jeff Medium makes the announcement about his wife. So that is quite fitting. So hopefully they can go out and they can win it for their coach.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Well said, Alex. We leave it right there. Perfect way to end the basketball talk here on the Purple Project Podcast. Weekly episode 87 of the podcast. Alex Aiden, City of California, K-State alum. Eddie Greer, Manhattan, Kansas, also K-State alum as well. We're coming up towards the end of tonight's podcast here. We're going to end it with some baseball. And, of course, get to my question here to Alex to cap off the end of the program of tonight's episode 87. So now, actually, before I get to baseball real quick, let's take a look at the schedule, obviously, for K-State. Tomorrow, as we're recording this podcast, on Thursday night, track and field hosting the Steve Miller Invitational. Recorded daily on this earlier tonight. That will be out tomorrow. This is their last meet before Big 12 conference meet starts. So that's going to be big for them. Kind of a final tune-up for some of those individuals before they go into Big 12 play. And then, of course, later, actually, this will be going at the same time. K-State baseball will be kicking off their first pitch tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock against Arizona, number 10 team in the nation in baseball. Looking forward to that matchup there. First of 3 big games to kick off the 2022 season for K-State baseball. And then Saturday morning at 11, they'll take on Michigan. And, of course, Saturday's also going to be busy, too, with the men's basketball team. We just talked about that. It's Oklahoma State. Got to go to Stillwater there. And then Sunday will be the last game of the State Farm College Baseball Showdown as K-State will be playing against Auburn Sunday morning at 10:30. First pitch a little bit after that. And of course, the back here in Bramlage, the play for K, K-State women taking on, hosting Oklahoma State as well. So action-packed weekend. Don't, let's not forget about tennis team. I just thought about that right now. Tennis, they will be playing on Saturday against Arizona State in Tempe, Arizona over there. So they call it in golf. Also just got started recently as well. So definitely this will be the right time, K-State Nation, to hop on to the Purple Project Podcast, folks. So definitely exciting weekend for K-State athletics across the board. And back to baseball, as we're recording this podcast, Alex, tomorrow it goes down, Alex, it's Arizona. And I tallied, let's see if I can find a note here. I just did it an hour before we hopped on air. Yeah, so I combined the records of Arizona, Michigan, Auburn, the opponents for K-State. Obviously, K-State finished 34-23 last year and was knocking on the doorstep of almost reaching the title game for the Big 12 tournament. The combination of the records, Arizona has been one of the best baseball teams in recent time. Combination of these teams, 98-64, Arizona 45-18 a year ago. So K-State right off the bat, gonna have to deal with them tomorrow afternoon. Then Michigan finished last year with a 27-19 record. And Auburn finished 26-27 last year. So Auburn had an up and down year as well. But still though, 98-64. That's pretty stout right there. You kick all things off against Arizona tomorrow afternoon. And K-State, the baseball team, had some transfers. Pete Hughes went to the transfer portal, right? So he had a couple of transfers. No one from memory here. Let's see. No. Yeah, there we go. I got my other tab back up here for the baseball here as I scroll down. At the same time, let's see if I can get it here. Yeah, K-State. There we go. So K-State added 8 players from the transfer portal. Dominic Johnson from Oklahoma State, actually. An outfielder transfer from Oklahoma State. Orlando Salinas Jr., also Oklahoma State transfer. So Jeff Heinrich, 231 hitter for South Carolina. He's a senior this year. Junior right-hander Blake Adams from Arkansas went 1-0 with an ERA of over 10. There with 11 strikeouts with his only time in Arkansas there. Justin Mitchell, who spent 4 seasons with OU, he hit 261, so he's going to be, that's already, I just named off like 3 players from the state of Oklahoma. Josh Nikoloff hit 293. He is now a senior, and he played, I believe, at Missouri. So it's saying that he played at Columbia, so that's why I take it he's from Missouri, right? Sophomore Christian Rubeck. He's a pitcher from Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, transfer from Oklahoma, 0-1 with a 9.37 ERA. And then another right-handed pitcher and sophomore, Dramon Forjado, who went undefeated with a 2.07 ERA with 36 strikeouts, 11 walks while playing in the, wow, how interesting is this? He played in the Alaska League, Alaska Gold Panthers there. So P. Hughes going in the transfer portal a little bit there. And I just named off like half these players from either transfer from Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
Look, P. Hughes likes it, Oklahoma. You know, he knows good baseball when he sees it. And he sees it in state of Oklahoma.
Yeah,
yeah. But I will say this though about the about Steve Eddy. you mentioned it, they're replacing a lot of guys, 24 newcomers on this team, 12 transfers, 12 freshmen, and then I believe if you look at their rotation, they only have one returner from their weekend rotation last year. That's a lot of guys to replace, and you know, you look at kind of how they're going to do it. Obviously, the transfer portal is going to be part of the reason. In fact, taking the slab on Friday is one of those guys, Blake Adams, and who was actually transferred from Arkansas, and he'll you know, like I said, we'll see what he can do against a very stout team. In Arizona, you mentioned it, whether they were 45-18 last year, whether they were runner-up national champs, or when they played the College World Series, I can't remember what they did, but they were really good last year, and they made it really far. You know, right off the bat, talk about a challenge. Man, talk about a challenge. But also, at the same time, talk about an opportunity. You know, you're going into this thing, and what are you going to lose? You know, you're playing in one of the best ballparks in baseball, the newest ballpark in baseball. You know, you're going in there, you're playing a powerhouse team like Arizona, three powerhouse teams. We can say what we want about Auburn's record. That's a good baseball program that is going to, you know, is always a team that can make some noise. And so, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough. You mentioned the overall record. You know, what 90-something and 60-something? 94, 68, or 98, 64, whatever it was, really, while it's going to be difficult, it's a really good opportunity. Really good opportunity. You know, throw them in the fire and see what they've got and see how they can handle it. You know, this is a K-State team that they've got some things to learn because they've got so many new guys, but I really think, Eddie, and I get the feel that there's really a lot of optimism about what they can do. PSU's seems really excited about them and what they can do, and he seems to really think the sky could be the limit for this team, and it feels like people around the baseball program feel the same way. Feel like this is a team that, yeah, you're replacing a lot of guys. Yeah, you're replacing you're replacing Wicks, who's a, you know, first-round pick, was just your worst last year. But a lot of people are real bullish on this team and think that this is a team that could, you know, that could really make some noise and do some things. You know, they weren't picked very high in the Big 12, preseason Big 12 poll, but they are receiving votes to be ranked in one poll. And so, you know, there's definitely people that are bullish on it. And so I'm really eager to see what they do this weekend, Eddie, and Ian Bogart. When they play Arizona, are they going to lose 17-1? Or are they going to lose 17-2? I mean, they're just going to get the doors blown off of them, which wouldn't shock me. Or are they going to play a close, competitive baseball game and maybe even pull off an upset? Wouldn't shock me either. I don't think that there's really many scenarios that would shock me for this K-State team in this tournament. I think it's going to be difficult. I think K-State probably is looked at as the bottom of those four teams. I understand Auburn had a losing record, but I still, the SEC is low now. The SEC's got some good baseball teams down there. And no slight at the Big 12. The Big 12's good baseball conference, but I'm not sure if it's quite at the SEC's level. Just my opinion. I haven't looked at any stats to support that. I just know the SEC's got some good players down there. But either way, it's going to be a great opportunity. Great opportunity for them. And, you know, it could go a bunch of different ways. You know, K-State can get swept down there. They could pull an upset. They could get two wins. They could get blown out in games. They could, you know, keep close. And just nothing would surprise me with what they do down there, because when you got 24 new guys, Eddie, who the heck knows? I mean, who the heck knows what we'll see? But, you know, you've got a lot of good talent. You've got a lot of good transfers. You mentioned it from the Oklahoma area. And, you know, it's going to take a little time. It's going to take a little time for K-State to kind of get these guys to gel. You know, it's a new team. You've got to build a you've got to build that chemistry up. You know, you got to get, you know, that familiarity together, playing with each other. But, you know, hopefully they can pick those things up quickly. And I think playing in games like this will help them pick it up quickly. So I'm excited, Eddie. I'm excited. I'm eager to see what K-State does with this opportunity to play in what has got to be one of the best baseball tournaments this year in college baseball. I mean, I would just assume that there's not going to be many that are going to be like this, playing in a venue like that with four teams as good as the teams that we see in the State Farm College Baseball Showdown. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And like I said, I'm really eager to see what they do this weekend. And then, you know, it doesn't stop. You know, it doesn't stop because, as we've talked about, right after that, they got to pivot. They got to come out to Cali, and you know, they got to play Bakersfield. They got to play Cal State Fullerton.
Yep.
You know, uh-huh. They got some teams to play there before they actually can come home, and that schedule lightens up a little bit when you get to play a Loyola Marymount, a Central Connecticut State, and Morehead State. It'll get a little bit easier, but you know, it's going to be challenging for them early on. And I like it. I like it, especially Arizona. I really like the way this stacks up, Eddie, because I feel like K-State's kind of getting the competition, the strength. It's, you know, they're playing, in my opinion, the best team in Arizona right off the bat. And then you play Michigan and you play Auburn. And I think Michigan's probably second behind Arizona. And I think Auburn's probably third behind Michigan. So for K-State, they're going out. I think they're playing the big dog. And they're just going to kind of work their way down the ladder as the weekend goes. So I actually kind of like the way that breaks for them. And just eager to see the way they, you know, the way they handle it and see if they can pull an upset.
Purple Project Podcast.
All right. Yep, that's right. Yep, we'll see what happens there as well. Beginning tomorrow afternoon down there at Globe Life Park, home of the Texas Rangers there. College baseball will be getting started on time, unlike the Major League Baseball. So that is good. At least somebody's going to start playing their seasons.
We have someone to watch.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, at least we have some baseball to watch there. So unlike Major League Baseball, the games that are being played with all that swish, and I'm not even going to get into all that.
Money and greed is not going to get in between our love for K-State sports. We won't let it. We won't let it like they are in baseball.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh. That is so – I'm not going to go down
don't
that road
do it,
either.
Don't do it.
I just have to say, wildly frustrating. Wildly frustrating that they're in this place right now in Major League Baseball. Because it's just so stupid, and it's all over greed. And as a fan of Major League Baseball, maybe I am going there. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to. As a fan of Major League Baseball, I don't want the season to be delayed over something so stupid when we just had a season delayed over something equally stupid during COVID. They need to get their crap figured out. Eddie, I'm sorry. The baseball, the owners, the players, they need to get it figured out. They need to get the crap figured out. Because I'm sick of getting games taken away from me as a fan because they are just bickering over money. So my rant is over. You can move on to the show now.
Yeah, that is well put, sir. Well put.
And I'm sure I speak for you when I say that.
Yeah, definitely. You speak for me as well. Definitely, it is a frustrating time. Somebody needs to get it figured out, or you guys are gonna be losing games, and that's gonna be pretty bad. So
for the second time in 3 years.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Not a good look for Major League Baseball. Not one bit. All right. So finally, get to my question of the podcast. This obviously comes from me. I have a question for you, Alex, to kind of wrap up this podcast tonight.
I'm very curious. I have no idea what you're about to ask.
Yeah, so we kind of talked about this a little bit on this podcast before regarding Nigel Pack and Bruce Weber. Obviously, Bruce Weber's time here at K-State may be coming to a close sooner rather than later, depending on what happens here the rest of the season, obviously. And if they even get into the NCAA tournament or not, we talked about this a little bit at length. But, okay, so at the end of the season, if Bruce Weber does either consider retirement or gets canned, does Nigel Pack stay with K-State, or does he go hit the transfer portal?
Great question, Eddie. Great question. I'm going to be honest, no, this is a question I have thought about. I had no idea you were going to ask it to me. I'm actually really glad. I was having this conversation with my mom the other day. She was probably like, you know, I don't even want to hear you talking about Nigel Pack and Marquise Noel. Like, why are you talking about them? Like, I don't want to hear you talk about them and transferring. Like, why are you having this conversation with me? But because I was thinking about it. I was curious. So I think this is a bigger question, Eddie. I think this question has a few layers to it, and I won't go into all layers, but for K-State, if you're a K-State fan, I think this boils down. No. Okay. I'll just quickly get there. No, I don't think he stays if Bruce leaves. I think that I think Nigel's gone if Bruce is gone. And I think that, you know, Marquise Noel is currently a junior, I believe, right now.
Yeah.
I think Marquise Noel leaves if Bruce leaves as well. One thing, the reason I think that is because, and I think Ish might even leave too. So the reason I feel that way is because there's no denying in my mind, Eddie, that these players love their coach. We can say what we want about Bruce. We can make fun of him about the bamboo tree, you know, or about whatever he's saying. We can get frustrated about everything that's going on. But the truth of the matter is, the players love him. And I think it's clear. I think it's really, really clear that these players stand up for him. They stick up. You know, when people are dogging them, they stick up for him. And they have his back, and they take responsibility. They don't let the responsibility fall on him when they mess up. They take the ownership, and they have his back. And so I really think that they love playing for him. And if K-State let him go and fired him, I think that would rub some of these guys the wrong way. I really do. And I think that you would have the risk of losing a good chunk of your roster. Would you lose them all? No. Do you lose a good chunk? Yes. Do I include Nigel in that? Probably. Especially if they don't make the NCAA tournament and he's seen half of his college career and he hasn't played in the NCAA tournament. The good thing about Nigel, Eddie, is he loves K-State as well. And I think that is clear with him. He really loves his university. He loves the people, he loves what it's about. And so if Bruce retired or something like that, sure, I could see Nigel staying and potentially hanging around. But look, the way he's playing, he could go. He could leave K-State and go play damn near anywhere. That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary, to be 100% honest with you. And it's something that you haven't really had to worry about, except for the last couple of years. You know, if a player just goes off and ends up being really good for you, some team could just come in and poach him. You know, he leaves, takes his portal, and he's gone. So, you know, that's kind of the fear. But ultimately, I do. You know, I do think if K-State fires Bruce Weber, there's a really good chance that you lose Nigel Pack, and not just Nigel Pack, but Marquise Noel, and you lose what could be really a dynamic backcourt next year. And that's pretty scary thought. So I think it actually comes to a bigger question, and what's the best thing? What's the best outcome for going into next year? And I said this from the get-go, and I still stand by it. I think the best-case scenario is the K-State gets hot, they go to the tournament, they make a run, and things are good for Bruce. And we go into next year. I think that's the best-case scenario. I truly believe it. I don't believe it would be K-State flaming out and firing Bruce. And the reason I think that is because I think K-State's going to be better next year. They've taken a step this year. I think they're going to get better next year if Bruce stays and Marquise stays and Nigel stays, Selton gets healthy. You can add, you know, Ish stays. You lose Mark Smith. That would obviously be a big loss. You lose McGurl. That'd be a loss too. But you can go get a big in the transfer portal. You know, you'll have Maximus Edwards coming off of his red shirt next year. There's a couple other, you probably even bring in a couple other guys to the transfer portal too. So like there's some things you can do to just kind of fill that roster in. And then, you know, like I said, Ish will be a year further. Selton will be a year further. Nigel will be a year further. And then you'll have Noel as a senior. I think things set up for K-State to be a pretty nice little team there. You know, is it a team that compete for a Big 12 title? Probably not. But is it a team that I think could make tournaments and, you know, relatively comfortably? Probably. I think that they could. So I think that's the best case scenario. I do, because if K-State fires Bruce, guys transfer out, you bring a new coach in, I think you're starting from the ground up. And while I understand that a lot of people want Bruce gone, I just don't know if K-State fans fully are thinking about what the ramifications could be of doing that. And I think some people just think, oh, you flip a switch and everything will be great the next day. No, that's not how it's going to go. You know, they're going to have to, they're going to have to build that thing up a little bit. It's going to take a little bit of time. And look, I've said it from the get-go, Eddie, they need to make the tournament for Bruce to keep his job. And if he doesn't make tournament, they flame out. I do think they should fire him. Don't get me wrong. But I think that there is ramifications to firing him. And that could be losing one of the best players in the Big 12. And do you want to risk that? And this is why I don't envy Gene. I don't want to be in that spot. I'm trying to navigate through all this. Trying to say, okay, wait, the basketball team's doing this. No one's showing up because they just don't want to watch this coach and this team because they're boycotting him. So our arena is sitting with 3,000 people in there for a basketball game, which is a joke. So, okay, I have to juggle that. And then I've also got to juggle the fact that just no one cares and is really watching. But it seems like we're winning and we have one of the best players and we got hot late and I think we can get better next year. Oh my gosh. That's tough. That's tough for G. That's why they pay him the big bucks right there. That's why they pay him the big bucks. But very long-winded answer to your question, Eddie. I do think he leaves. And I think that he wouldn't be the only one. I think there'd be multiple. I'd love to be wrong. In a perfect scenario, if Bruce could leave and Nigel could stay, I'm here for that. If that can happen, I sign me up for that one. I definitely think K-State needs some new blood. I hope to make the tournament, and I hope you know that means Bruce can be back next year. But I have absolutely no problem admitting that I am definitely open to some new blood in the program because it needs it. It desperately needs it.
It needs it bad.
It needs it really, really bad. Things are very stale. Very, very stale right now, which is a shame, by the way, because this is a fun team to watch. This is a fun basketball team to watch, and it's just a bummer because so much of it gets overshadowed because of the coaching stuff. And I think it's taken away some of the really special things that this team has done, in particular, that backcourt. K-State's got a really special backcourt with Noel and Pat. Then you throw Mark Smith in there, what he's done. K-State's got a nice collection. They're fun to watch, and I think that the coaching stuff's kind of overshadowed some of it, which is just a bummer. And some fans have missed out on it, so because they're just kind of fully caught in Bruce, and they're just not excited. Everything feels stale to them right now. So they need new blood, but you could risk losing a Nigel. So that's tough, Eddie. Like I said, that's why Gene's paid the big bucks. But I think we'll learn a lot. I think we'll learn a lot over these next 5 days. 5 days. No, not the next 5 days. I think we'll learn a lot over the next 5 games on whether or not it's worth the risk. And I think that's just what it comes down to. Is it worth the risk of losing Nigel to let Bruce go? Is it worth it? What is going to be the best thing for the best thing for our basketball program long term? As much as it would hurt to lose Nigel, you've got to think about the long-term plan, what's best for the program long-term. And if Gene thinks, man, the best thing long-term is to let Bruce go and to get some new blood in here, to get some new energy around it, and you know what, we're just going to have to risk it. And if Nigel leaves, he leaves. He stays great, but this is what's best for us long-term. And that's what it needs to do. But it's a tough one, and it's a question I've definitely pondered, and one that I'm sure you and I will probably talk about again on this podcast, mm-hmm. because, like I said, this is nowhere near going away, because we got five more games, and we're going to learn a lot in the next five games mm-hmm. on the fate of Bruce Weber, which in return will could turn into the fate of Nigel Pack.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting perspective there. Yeah, I didn't really think about the ripple effect that could have on not just Nigel Pack but everybody else as well. And if that were to happen, that could be another rebuilding job for the next coach that comes here to Manhattan, and getting basically you gotta sit through another rebuilding project. And I don't know how many K-State basketball fanatics are gonna sit through that, but I mean, yeah, it's gonna be
interesting. They say they will. They say they will right now, Bruce believes, but I just have a hard time believing that they really will. They say it now, but then when it comes time to rebuild, then they may be like, are you kidding? Like, I'm running a new coach to win now. Like, I just feel like that there's just a little bit of a misconception, I think, with some K-State fans on what it would look like. And look, it could flip. It could flip go the other way. Bruce come back. A couple players should say, I said, forget this. I'm done. I'm out. and they could leave, and we could be like, whoa, really? But I don't get that vibe from this team, Eddie. I really don't get that vibe from this team. I get the vibe that, like, we love our coach. Like, we love our coach. We play for him. We're sticking up for him. And I just don't think you'd see a lot of guys transfer on this team just because of what we have seen vocally, unless they're doing a great job of fooling us about that. But I mean, I don't see a Deshaun Gordon, an Antonio Gordon, a guy like that who's kind of a little, who kind of, maybe the writing might be on the wall a little bit. You know, that they might not be fully bought into what's going on with the program. Because I remember at this time last year, Antonio Gordon, I think he was already away from the team, I think, at this point last year. So you just don't see that. You don't see that type of thing happening right now with anyone. And like I said, things could be going on behind the scenes that we don't know. But I just think you'd have a lot more players transferring than if Bruce left than if Bruce stayed. With that said, though, Eddie, let's also say this too. It takes a lot less time to build a program up now than it used to because of the transfer portal. So a bunch of guys transferred out and they got rid of Bruce. They had a ton of scholarships open. And that would give the coach the freedom to pretty much create the team he wanted to create off the bat. And that could be a good thing too. So I mean, there's definitely multiple ways to look at it.
Yep, that is for sure. So that is the question of the week, episode 87. The Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition is in the books next week after the KU game in Lawrence. Oh, we're going to have a big Tuesday night KU K-State game in Lawrence. And then we're going to have Keaton Valentine, who was supposed to be this guest, first guest on episode 50 of the podcast. That did not happen there because some other things come up on Keaton's schedule. So that did not happen. But next week is finally the week that we will have our first guest, and Keaton Valentine will be on the show. Jam-packed late night edition after the finals, but well, actually a few minutes after the final buzzer sounds of the K-State KU game in Lawrence. A big week next week. Alex, any last words?
You know what, Eddie? I'm going to go back to that K-State Oklahoma State game. Yeah, we talked a little about Nigel and Bruce, but I'll put it back on the court. You know, people can say what they want about Bruce. They can say what they want. Look, I am all in, and I've said this all year. You know, I can have my personal thoughts on Bruce and begin, you know, what I might begin, you know, all personally. I'm never going to cheer against the team. That's been my stance all year. And I've said this is a fun team. This is a fun thing to watch. Are they consistent? Sure. Are they? They're inconsistent. Are they good enough to make the NCAA tournament? We'll see. Jury's still out. But they're a fun team to watch, and I'm all in on trying to see them make the tournament. You know, we can complain all we want about, oh, Bruce, oh, you know, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. Blah, 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 whatever. I've done it many times. I'm guilty of it. All we want to do, Eddie, is just make the NCAA tournament. That's what we all want to do. That's what we want. I mean, that's what we play. We play to have the opportunity to play in that tournament. And this team has the opportunity to play in that tournament. So instead of spending my time obsessing over Bruce, I'm going to spend my time cheering this team on, hoping that they can get the place where we all want them ultimately be. So I just encourage K-State fans, enjoy it. Okay, they're playing good basketball right now. They're in the thick to play the NCAA tournament after winning 9 games last year. So, what's that game to go? And they're currently 5th in the Big 12. So, enjoy it. And hopefully we have even more to enjoy after Saturday. And just go for the ride. Just go for the ride. And if they don't make the tournament, we can cross those bridges then. But in the meantime, just go for the ride with the team. They've got a chance to make the NCAA tournament. That's all we could have ever asked for going into this season. And that's all you want. Hit the tourney. Get in the tourney and see what happens, man. That's what college basketball is about. So just get on the ride. Go on the ride. And look, they put themselves in position. So let's see what can happen. Cheer your cats on. Let's see what they can do. Huge game against Oklahoma State on Saturday.
Yep, and an opportunity for the K-State men's team to win 3 in a row for the first time, not only in the Big 12 Conference, but the first time since going back in December earlier this year, where they had a streak of 3 in a row in a non-con. They're looking to finally win 3 consecutive Big 12 games for the first time all year long. Men are coming together at the right time. You want to play your best basketball at the right time. So hopefully, K-State is gelling at the right time, like you've been talking about, as one of the women looking to get back on the winning foot this weekend, as well against the Cowgirls of Oklahoma State Baseball. Be on the way when this podcast comes out tomorrow night. They will be playing against the 10th-ranked Arizona. That should be a very good test all weekend long for K-State. Well, that's going to do it for right now. Episode 87 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition is in the books. Alex, for Alex Aiden out there, Danny in California, Eddie Greer, go Cats. Alex, we'll do this again next week. Big week next week.
I look forward to it, Eddie. We'll have a lot to talk about next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go Cats. We'll talk to you next time on the Purple Project Podcast.
Purple Project Podcast.